Hello, everyone, and welcome to Watching Game Changers. I'm Lori Hennessy with League of Education Voters, and it's great to have you with us as usual through all of our different ways you can find this podcast, including YouTube. And we appreciate all of you who have been following the podcast. And Watching Game Changers, as you've heard probably in the past, is a podcast we created a couple of years ago so that we could just take a moment in these busy and crazy and often stressful times and focus on some of those who do good work and really make a difference in our community. Those are the true game changers that we're here to celebrate. Dr. Tanya Drake is joining us, and I'm so excited about this. So you lead Western Governors University, Chancellor and Regional Vice President for the Northwest. And Dr. Tanya Drake, her work is guided by the belief that higher learning transforms lives. I love that, and is passionate about creating pathways to opportunity. And I did some research and saw that she holds a PhD and a master's degree from Arizona State University, a bachelor's degree in business from UW, where I'm now an adjunct teacher, by the way, and an associate degree from Lower Columbia College. And I am so excited to talk to you because I've done some research and looked into some of your work and some of the things that you talk about. And obviously, this is a time where we really need to be talking about higher ed. So welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Lori, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to connect with you. And I love your podcast. I just love how positive it is, and you just shining a light on game changers in Washington. It's so needed right now.
It is.
So thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. And thank you for joining us. So first, I just need to start this from the very top. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey. How did you get to Western Governors University, and maybe some of your own passions that you bring in?
Happy to. So I first identify as First Nations. My father is Cowichan from Vancouver Island. I was born and raised in the States. I also use the pronoun she and her, and have been at Western Governors for about 5 years. I joined the university as the chancellor for Washington when we created a formal partnership with the state of Washington to address workforce needs. Since then, my scope has expanded across the Pacific Northwest, and I serve 9 states right now. Including, you know, some states like Hawaii and Alaska. So have to do some visiting also of those states.
Wow.
But thrilled to do the work that we're doing. A little bit about my background. You mentioned my education. That is really, I will say, how I fell into higher education. I was directly impacted by the education that I received. I'm a first generation college student. I know the difference that it has made in my ability, both social, economic mobility, and that for my family, and really wanted to pay it forward. And so I started my career working for the University of Washington, but in a federal grant called a TRIO program over in the Yakima area. So I got to work with first generation college students over in the Yakima area, and just encouraging them to go to higher education, and then helping them through the process, like financial aid and admissions. Sometimes individuals who are first generation need that additional coach and help to navigate the processes. Then I went down to Arizona and spent several years down there, worked for ASU and some community colleges, and determined that my passions could turn into a career. So I've been in higher ed for 25 years, trying to expand access to individual who's seeking a degree. And now at Western Governors, trying still to expand that access for individuals. In this case, primarily working adults, individuals who may have some college, but no degree. Maybe they started in higher education and either needed to leave because of family matters or economic matters, or maybe they just didn't find success at the time. But now they've hit that career, I will say, glass ceiling, and they need to get a degree in order to advance or to re-career. And so excited to expand access across the state.
Wow, that's so wonderful. You know, there's a lot of talk about online learning, you know, and there's a lot of talk about this sort of this whole world of accessibility where we're getting more people the chance to create these new pathways. Western Governors University, tell us a little bit more about what is some of that role that you fill in terms of getting people a chance to get that degree, maybe who never would have had that chance before.
Absolutely. So WGU was founded over 25 years ago by governors who really saw a need to expand access. Mm-hmm. And we were designed to be complementary to a higher education system, but very specific to working adults. And 25 years ago, they were pretty revolutionary and visionary thinking about utilizing the internet. Think about our internet experiences 25 years ago was very different than they are now. Although in the pandemic, like all of higher education shifted to online. And so now everyone experiences it, but we were designed for that. They were also pretty visionary in using what's called a competency-based model, which isn't part of most people's like general vocabulary around higher ed. But what it means is adults have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge that they've gained through life, through work, and that they probably didn't need to sit through classes and relearn things that they've been doing, you know, through their careers. So competency-based really allows working adults to demonstrate their competency and then move on to the next class. And in some classes, it takes them a very short amount of time because they've been working in that discipline. In other areas, they need some additional help, but it doesn't limit them into a time, a place, and frees them up to move as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about that is our students really take us up on it. So their time to degree is about 2.5 years. You know, on average for a bachelor's degree and less than a year for a master's degree. Mm-hmm. And that means the return on investment to those students is really fast. So that how much they have to pay in the time to degree is shortened, and they can get back out into the workforce and make some additional money with that. Wow. That said, online, although, like I said, everyone pivoted during the pandemic, it has been an area in higher education that we've really had to explain also. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people think of online as less than or alternative. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're designed for it and you optimize to that success, there's significant differences in how we can enable students to learn. Mm-hmm. I think about other industries who have really utilized technology in beneficial ways. I think about my banking experience, for example, and I used to have to go in to go get money or to do transactions or to handwrite like what I've spent and reconcile, you know, each month. And if my bank currently still did that and I had to go in all the time to do my transactions, I probably wouldn't be banking with them. And so using technology, and I can do all my banking mostly online, send money, transactions electronically, has made my life simpler and better and easier. And I think we need to apply those same benefits and standards to higher education.
Yeah. You know, I've been reading so much during the pandemic about the kids who changed their plans. And by kids, I mean oftentimes adults as well, people at different points in the journey. But there are people who had plans, who changed their plans, particularly around higher ed. And the surveys that I've been seeing say that many of those people who did change those plans were people who had to pay for their families. They had to help their parents. I mean, there's just so much inequality that was emerging during the pandemic, particularly around those with lived experience and how they weren't able to continue with their plans to go to college. Talk about this a little bit with me in terms of how does a place like Western Governors help in a world where all of a sudden you had so many people with lived experience who aren't able to go to college anymore because they had new things calling on them. And then all these people who were like, oh, my life is not impacted by the pandemic. There was just such inequity that we saw.
Absolutely. And it will impact us for years to come. I think we're only now realizing the impact of that. I remember my experience early on in the pandemic, and then watching the experiences of family and friends. my niece, who is a traditional student, was going to go to a public university, started there, and then the pandemic hit, and everything went online, and that's not quite what she signed up for. And she ended up dropping out, and just rethinking about, you know, what her options were.
Yeah.
Of course, she has an aunt who works at WGU, so I'm like, hey, consider. she was working, you know, in the meantime, she had picked up a part-time job, you know, just to figure out life. And she ended up working as a para educator in special education. It's not a career field that she was originally thinking about, but fell in love with the teaching profession. She is now currently enrolled at WGU, got a scholarship from us, and is now going to become a teacher. Aww. And in some ways, that's like a success story.
Yeah.
But I've also heard so many students for whom started at a college or university and haven't returned.
Yeah.
And haven't found that space. And so making higher education as flexible as possible and really encouraging individuals to move forward is really critical.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get that suddenly, particularly women, I think left the workforce in, astonishing numbers and haven't returned and are still caring for kids and households and, you know, the burden of basic things like grocery shopping and being out and about really fell on the shoulders of most women. I know myself included.
Yeah.
That said, I think now is really a great time to reconsider what educational options are available, because you can stay at home now, you can get a degree while you're also caring for loved ones and working part-time or full-time, so that as we emerge out of this pandemic, people will have those skill sets to do all the things that they wanted to do beforehand.
Yeah.
But it's going to take time, energy, and probably a little bit of courage to get back out and do those difficult, challenging life goals that some of us have put on the back burner for quite some time. That said, I also agree people of color really were impacted by this pandemic, particularly in the service areas, who just kept going, right? All the workers who were in the grocery stores or the restaurants or kept us healthy, in the hospitals, the frontline workers that really continue to do it 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
The overwhelming number of people who are still caring for us in those fields. And the teacher education. So one, being thankful, I think that's an area that we can all be open to and just expressing our thanks and appreciation. And two, being encouraging about what are those new opportunities that are emerging to help our BIPOC communities, our low income, and particularly women who have left the workforce.
Yeah. You know, and I think I've read so many things about how the pandemic, all it did was tell us about inequities that have always existed, but in ways that we all started reading more about. You know, when you look at the numbers in Washington State and just the sheer differences in terms of those who got to go to college and the disparity. I mean, it's like I'm sure none of this is at all surprising to you. I mean, what do we do to start changing the outcome so that in Washington State, we don't have such huge skewed percentages between those who go to high performing high schools, who oftentimes aren't those with lived experience, who oftentimes go into college, and then you have this whole different trajectory. I mean, are there things that we can do to continue to do better about that in terms of who's going to college?
I think there's a lot of things that we all can do better. I really like a collective impact approach, because it's not you and it's not me, but it's us. It's all of us who really need to collectively figure out what we do to help individuals. I'll give you one example of areas that I think we can collectively work on, and that's affordability, right? The costs of higher education are usually the first things that students ask about. How much is it going to cost me? Where can I get the resources to do that?
Yeah.
And that hasn't always been the case for higher education, but it is the case now.
Yeah.
and students seeing really high debt rates coming out of higher education and asking themselves, is it worth it? Am I getting the salary or the increase in order to pay off then that debt? So areas that we try to control for are costs. So keeping costs low, I think all of higher education can do their due diligence to ensure that costs remain as low as possible for students. To affordability, Washington is definitely a leader in state aid. And so I think students have access, but they may not know how to go about it. Mm-hmm. Doing basic things of filing for the federal financial aid, which includes state aid. We have pretty low rates of participation in just the FAFSA application. I know that's a big area for the Washington Student Achievement Council, is just making mm-hmm. sure people are aware and know how to fill out the basic opportunities for costs. But then I think of the collective impact about industry and their role on this mm-hmm. as well. We're seeing industry step up in ways that I haven't seen before because they ultimately benefit, right, from a strong workforce and strong workers and employees. Yeah. One example is Amazon Career Choice. They have developed a program for which if you're a part-time employee at Amazon, you'll qualify for aid to go to school, and they're paying their part-time employees to go back to school and get a degree. That's pretty unheard of, in many sectors, but I'm excited that many industry are starting to follow suit and really take an active role in preparing individuals. And at Amazon, it is, really looking at not only the data centers, the call centers, mm-hmm. those types of things, but the warehouses where we mm-hmm. do see a lot of lower income workers or people of color now have an opportunity to earn a degree while they're working. And so I think that collective approach mm-hmm. with industry and with existing resources is, I think, one area as an example of where we can work together to lift participation rates.
That's great. You know, it's funny. I think I mentioned to you that, so I had 35 years of my career and I never got my BA, and I had dropped out of school 35 years ago at UW. And I'm one of those lucky ones because during the pandemic, I went back and got my BA. And I liked it so much. Oh, thank you. I liked it so much. I went back to UW. I liked it so much. I then went on and got my master's, and I got that 2 months ago. And now I'm doing some adjunct teaching. But in that process, what I found as I started, as a person who was in her late 50s getting my BA, I had to set my ego aside and set aside all my years of experience to be a student. And bringing in what I now have learned is non-traditional students, people who have had careers, people who have busy lives, who are going on the weekends. I think that, I just love the fact that Western Governors University is one of those places that's like, it's not just that trajectory we always learned for every student. Right. There are people who come back at different times, and it needs to be a welcoming place. And part of the thing, I'm pretty adept at technology for someone of my age, but for a lot of people of my era, technology is scary. And that's one of the things that I really like about some of these new models, is looking at how do we bring people in? How do we get them at different times in their journey and make it doable? Make it possible.
Absolutely.
Make it customer.
You can say our generation. I'm in your generation. Our generation. Yes, I agree. it's a daunting task to really think about going back to education, especially if you may or may not have had the most positive experience, or if you've been outside the classroom, right, for quite some time. Yeah. At WGU, we have decided to surround each student with support. So we have a bit of a unique faculty model. Uh-huh. So in a traditional university where you went to, the faculty would develop the curriculum, administer the class, assess the class, and assign you a grade. Mm-hmm. We've broken the faculty role into four big areas. Mm-hmm. We do have faculty who develop curriculum. They tend to be our PhDers, the individuals who are setting, you know, the industry standards. But we also have faculty who are much like the faculty that you experience, discipline experts in their subject matter, math, science, communications. We also have those who simply do assessments all day long and just assess learning and give student feedback about where they're at and how they can grow. And then the fourth, and what our students say are the most important, are what we call faculty mentors. So each student is assigned a faculty mentor, and it meets with them once a week from the start of their program to the end of their program.
Wow.
So we don't have, so we don't have anything called advisors. We don't have anything called elective classes or, you know, there's no guesswork. We have a person who helps the student set goals, hold them accountable, direct them to resources. So they have a key contact, but they also say sometimes they just need that ear to lean on during the week, or maybe some guidance of how to push through, some maybe tips about how successful to navigate the process. And our students say they often wouldn't get through without that encouragement and support that those faculty members give us.
That's one
example of ways in which, you know, we're battling that online component in a very personalized way.
Yeah. You know, we keep reading about not just the pandemic, but also just the world of social media. Like it is a tough time, I think, with mental health, with a lot of young folks particularly. And we sort of have a running joke. My youngest is in college. He's in his senior year at Temple. And I always tell my husband when we want to check in and how he's doing, I'm like, is he still in school? Is his mental health okay? Like we're changing this kind of uber competitive kind of culture that's always existed to take a breath and say, is his mental health okay? Because everyone is struggling in that area. And what you just mentioned, I just love that kind of idea of looking at the student for the whole person and supporting the student, surrounding them with someone they can talk to, because everyone is just not okay.
I agree. You know, I have a daughter who also, you know, upon reentry did not do so well reentering high school, and anxiety and depression took over. And so I know firsthand the impacts that had on her, our family. You know, at WGU, because we're an online university, we weathered the pandemic. Like all of our operations were the same. So we were definitely not set up for a pandemic, but we weathered the pandemic operationally very well. But because we have faculty members who have direct impact with students, and our students were impacted, our students were now at home taking care of kids, doing their work, figuring out online access to more internet availability. I know we had to upgrade in our house. You know, all of those took its toll. And our students reach out to our faculty. So what we ended up doing is we created a community of care for our faculty to ensure that the burden that they would hear student after student had a place of support for them. Even just in a recent leadership meeting, they were streaming like a live band who was doing like say 70s and 80s music just for like mental health, just to break up the day and get some music energized and get us a little bit out of that thought process. But I agree. I think just like technology is everywhere, I think health and wellness and our well-being has to be a part of everything we do as we emerge out of this pandemic.
I agree. It's a strange new world that we're in. And I say this all the time to my team. It's just, we're always focused on, are you all okay? You know, what else can I do as a leader? It's a different world than it was like when I started my career, or, you know, days you probably remember where it was much more sort of an enforcement approach that was encouraged. Now it's like, how can I support you all? Because man, this is tough.
It is. And I think figuring out that balance, I think some of the positive things that have emerged, is what is that work-life balance, and how do we navigate being home to be there for our kiddos, but also be productive at work. And I think striking that balance is something that industry, all of us, education is starting to figure out. And in some ways, I think it's kind of positive. Many countries have figured it out, right? They have.
Yeah.
And we could learn a lot from some of the work ethics that we're moving forward. I think, wow. You know, I work now more than ever, and yet I do have the flexibility of being at home when my kiddos come back from school and doing some of the, you know, the nuanced things that all of us are starting to appreciate, you know, of having sort of a remote plus in-person work base.
Yeah. Well, I just love talking to you. I love the classy babies in the background. We were just talking about that. Sorry, my dog just came in. This entire world now that we have in the pandemic, half the time I do a podcast, people hear this weird sound and it's my husky behind me shaking.
Well, mine's a black lab and I'm surprised he hasn't like made some sort of barking or, you know.
We've always had black labs. We've actually, our family is just a black lab family. And this is our first time we've had a non-black lab. And she is the most spoiled dog you've ever met in the pandemic.
I don't know.
More spoiled because I'm walking her all the time now.
I don't know. Mine might challenge for the most spoiled.
We'll have to compete. Yeah. Yes. Well, it's been so wonderful talking to you. And I would just tee up one last question for you. If someone's out there and they've been thinking about going to college, or they've been thinking it might be something that would help them that they've never gotten around to, what do you think we should tell them to encourage them to take that leap?
I say now is the time to be bold and courageous. You know, it really is. And there's no better time to rethink about what you want to be and how you want to emerge out of this pandemic. And given this time and energy, taking that first step, maybe the first step for some people is just going to the website. Maybe the first step is just applying and talking to an enrollment counselor. Some people are, they're just ready. Like, I've been thinking about it. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just taking a first step, I think it's like in any goal, that first step is the hardest. So being bold and courageous and having the confidence in yourself that you got this and you can do it, just like you returned and you knocked it out. And all of a sudden you relearned that you love learning.
Yeah.
And you kept going. And I think there's a lot of people out there who are very similar.
All right. Well, it has been so great talking to you. I just really, really appreciate it. Sounds like we have a lot of common passions and including glassy babies. and thanks so much for joining us for this lovely conversation.
Appreciate it. And again, thank you for all the work that you're doing and the encouragement across the state. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us once again. This is Washington Game Changers with League of Education Voters. I'm Lori Hennessy. You can look through our site at League of Education Voters, educationvoters.org, and find a whole list of all the Washington Game Changers conversations. There have been some wonderful conversations the last couple of years, including this one. And thanks, everyone. And check out our website. And we'll be talking to you again soon.